Next on BYUSN, rivalry weekend for number 23 men's basketball as the Cougars host Utah in the regular season finale. What do we hope to see in tomorrow night's game? What will be different in the game from the overtime loss in January? Plenty.
We still feel the pain of that. Seniors Trevin Nell and Trey Stewart are going to join us ahead of senior night, their last blast at home. How will they describe their Cougar careers to their kids someday? We'll ask them that question. And on this rivalry weekend, tight end Carson Ryan goes one-on-one with Spencer. We'll learn about his transition from the U to BYU and how he's adjusting to the offense and what we can expect from the tight ends this fall.
Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. It is Friday, March 7th. Every time we say it's March, it feels good. I'm Jerem Jordan. He is aspiring weatherman and sometimes actual weatherman from his news days. Dave
McKeon. Sometimes. But for a long time, I was right next to Kevin Eubank, Mr. Weather at KSL. And when it was going to snow, he'd put on the snow coat. Mm-hmm. And then things would just escalate, you know, the energy in the building around the state. Well, look what the snow coat was rocking. This is a live look at Miller Park.
Uh-oh.
We're going to show you this because we're going to play baseball this afternoon right here at 3 o'clock.
In 5 hours, that's time. All going to be gone.
They got the heaters on, and we just heard from the baseball folks over there going, hey, it's a go. Nothing looks like baseball season than that shot.
Really?
In Provo.
Amazing technology.
Yeah.
And fun the last 2 days. Not the most ideal conditions. Yesterday was weird.
Yeah.
We had snow, hail, sunshine, rain.
All in clouds. The same inning.
All in the first, which was crazy. So, yeah, game 3 coming up for baseball. Dave will have the call on that one. I'll be on men's volleyball tonight. Greg Rebell back in town on BYU Radio for baseball as well. All rise and shout. It's time for What's Trending.
Yegor with 2, a 3 for the win. Finished. Utah wins at 73-72. Spin, elbow, jumper, Dawson. Got it! Dawson Baker, shot maker.
The tide's turning. You're not punking BYU, we're doing a punk.
The words of Kevin Young to his team after that great win Tuesday at Iowa State. Number 23 men's basketball hosts Utah in the regular season finale. Oh, that's crazy. Playing Utah in the final regular season game. That'd be nice.
Novel
football
idea.
Would do that. Men's hoops doing it. BYU somehow lost that first game 73-72 in overtime way back on January 18th. Feels like forever ago.
Yeah.
So what do you want to see from BYU against Utah tomorrow night?
Well, go back to what Sean Farnham told us early in the week from ESPN. You've got to follow up what you did in Ames with a win tonight. Saturday night, whether it's 1 point or 100 points.
Would one be enough, given how good this team's playing?
I think they'd take a win, number one, and then number two would be the style points of putting the hurt on the Utes. It's a whole totally different BYU team than the one that the Utes saw. Utah's lost 6 straight road games in the Big 12. They're playing at the Marriott Center. That's a special place. But I just think you've got to just win. You have to a 7 seed in Lunardi today. Just win and keep the train going. Then you got till Thursday in the Big 12 tournament. Now, personally, there's a lot of things I'd like to see. 100-0 is, you know, right up there. But
Eric Mika, is that you?
But a win, because they got bigger plans than tomorrow night.
Yes.
Right? And sometimes that's the plan. It's this game. But BYU has bigger plans. And tomorrow's kind of in the way. But just finish it and send the seniors out in style. But play better than you did in January and across the board.
It would be easy to overlook a team like Utah, whose head coach Craig sure. Smith is gone. Alex Jensen, by the way, going up to Utah. Oh, a novel concept, getting an NBA assistant.
Right.
Well, we always wanted out. Why didn't you hire him the first time then? Why now? Dallas Mavericks, kind of a dumpster fire. Everyone getting out of there. I get it. But because BYU lost to Utah, the Utes have BYU's attention. They did not win that first one. That was a disappointing loss. BYU is going to win tomorrow night, and they're going to have their 14th Big 12 win out of 20 games.
Yeah.
I think if BYU had closed and sealed the deal against TCU and Utah, they would have 16 wins, and they could be the 2 seed. This is an unbelievable situation for BYU because they're top 4. They're in a great spot, yet they're motivated because they lost the first one. In fact, last night on BYU Basketball with Kevin Young, Coach discussed his thoughts on the rematch with that team up north.
All that's out the window. They beat us in the first game, and we should have won, and we didn't. And so we're mad about it. They got to come to our house. We need to take care of business.
The crowd went crazy, yeah. by the way. They love that one.
Yeah, that's a good answer. They were 8 of 30 shooting threes at the U.
Yeah.
They're not going to shoot 8 of 30 at home. They were 4 of 10 from the free throw line. The other night, they were 25 of 31. They've gotten better at that. And then this was a one-point loss with these numbers. Ezra, you saw at 26, a career high. You know, Mag himself is going to lock down on this guy. They're not going to get caught by surprise, and he was a big surprise in that first game. Out-rebounded 47-44. That's not going to happen at the Marriott Center.
BYU no, not coming off that rebounding performance.
52-24.
That was unbelievable, Dave.
Yeah, when I saw that, I thought it was a typo. And then you're like, well,
nope.
No, it wasn't.
I thought the 29 turnovers was a typo,
yeah,
too.
That one.
Oh, wait, we felt every one of those.
Yeah, BYU's won 7 straight. The Utes have lost 6 straight on the road, as mentioned. And the new guys, Kevin Young, Yegor, Cannon, Moat, Mihailo, they all know now what this game means.
Yep.
They've seen it. They've tasted it.
Yep.
They've tasted the disappointment, the aftermath. You know, it's a storm coming for Utah. All that being said, in the Big 12, if you don't bring it, you can get beat. And the Utes have had some big games. It'll be interesting, but BYU is a different team now, and so I expect a different outcome.
Utah certainly has some positive momentum from feeling like, okay, we have Alex Jensen coming. Yeah. He's not coaching Saturday night's game, but BYU is playing as good a basketball as anybody in the country right now. They've been on an unbelievable tear with that 7-game win streak. Adding to what you mentioned in terms of what could be different tomorrow night, Gabe Mattson went 1-for-11 from 3. He is the all-time leading three-point shooter in Utah history, set that record this year. I doubt he's going to go 1-for-11 again. So BYU certainly got to control him on the perimeter like they somehow did up in Salt Lake. Yet it was a close game. BYU's much tougher now than they were then. They've gone through some battles, winning in Tucson or Tucson, as we called it.
Well, they've learned you
Ames.
Can tackle guys.
You can just tackle people in the Big 12. Let's hope it's not officiated like it would Tuesday. Was, my goodness, they rebound better. As you mentioned, they make free throws. They know who they are. They know what they're capable of. Mwit Mag had barely been inserted into the starting lineup. Trey Stewart wasn't really playing. This was a different BYU team. Dallin Hall was a non-factor in that game and saw like 2 points on 0-5 shooting. Who is he now? A guy that's dunking alley-oops and scoring 22 points with his new shoes. By the way, sadly, we can report the mustache is gone for Dallin. For some of you, that might be a celebration, depending on how you felt about it. I'll be interested to see if Cannon Ketching sits out this game.
Yeah.
Or if he, to get some more rest into next week. I would think so. But, yeah, we expect it to be very different in this second matchup.
Pressure on Tuesday was all on Iowa State. And BYU went in loose and put up a fight. The pressure on the team tomorrow night is all on BYU, right?
America's They're supposed going,
really?
To win
are
big.
Are they really the hottest team? I want to see that. They beat Iowa State. Did they get lucky? Or Arizona, was it this? So you just have to keep convincing everybody this time of year that you are as good as these numbers show, and not give the committee any reason to back you up into the 8-9 seed. Where you've got the one seed if you get through the first round. But I go back to the theme of BYU. This is a big, big game, but BYU has bigger plans. And that hasn't always been the case. And that's why I think they come out focused and they're going for a different prize. And the Utes just happen to be next. And then you throw in what happened in January and what happened in football and what's happening for 100 years. And you just mix all that up. Add some senior night stuff in there, and it's sold out. You don't want to miss that game, and you got a magical night right in the making.
Pre-game tomorrow night, 9 Eastern time. Dave hosting that one. Utah and BYU tomorrow night. BYU favored by 12 points, according to KenPom. This is a quad 2 game for BYU because Utah is 65 in net. So we'll see what tomorrow night brings. And as you mentioned, senior night tomorrow for BYU. 4 seniors, Foose, Trevin Nell, Mwit Mag, Trey Stewart. So let's play What's the Word and walk through these guys. When you think of Foose, what's the word that comes to mind?
I went through a bunch of words thinking about this morning, and I came down to reliable. When nothing else is working, what does BYU do? They throw it into Foose. Did it a lot more last year because he's splitting time this year, and it's a little bit of a different Foose this year, but in some key games, he has been the reason that they've won those games. West Virginia can't wait for Foose to just move on with his life and and graduate.
He destroyed them.
That's just a great matchup for him.
Bunch of times.
He hits his free throws. One of the best free throw shooters on the team.
This year, right? He was amazing.
Yeah, and so that's the word for me, reliable for Foose. What's yours?
I go consistent. We kind of got a very similar player. He got better by increments, but he's in better shape than he was when he showed up at BYU. He's been amazing. 6'5 and a half is how tall he is, yet he's gone up against 7'1 guys and Hunter Dickinson and others. Yeah. He has the highest career field goal percentage in BYU history. You could argue the greatest interior shooter BYU's ever had. The rebounds, the assists, the blocks. He's been an all-timer at BYU in terms of his consistency, his ability to shoot, his ability to get people on his hip and get them deep under the basket and toss it up with either hand. So it's been awesome. Consistent is the word for me.
Styles make fights. And it wasn't a great style for him on Tuesday, as Jefferson, that was a bad matchup for Foose. But in matchups where he has the advantage, he has been awesome. He had 16 up in Salt Lake in the first meeting. We'll see what happens on Saturday night on senior night. But consistent and reliable, those are two great words to describe somebody.
Yeah, that's what you want someone to talk to you about.
Trevin Nell, what's your word for Trevin?
I go shooter. Just I think of Trevin, I think of that release. I think of all the threes that he's made. He's top 10 in BYU history in made threes, a guy who's been here for 5 years. He's been a leader. He's a feisty guy in the players on the court among BYU's players. When there's a little bit of chatter with the other team, it typically is Trevin stirring it up. He's a good dude, and BYU's been lucky to have him for 5 years, man.
I'm going to go with game changer and just move that all into one word. Maybe a hyphen in there
we'll
to get away
that,
with it.
Yeah.
When he's on from the outside, I think back to that show he put on against Cincinnati in a game BYU lost last year, largely because he was on the bench for 9 minutes. I think everyone forgot he had 27 points. But and we see him the other night. He had a couple of big threes on this seven-game swing. When he's hot, the other guys loosen up, right? And not every night's great for Trevin Nell as for a shooter. Sometimes the shot isn't on. When it's on, he can change a game. And going into an NCAA tournament, you've got to have somebody that the other team can't leave open. They have to worry about him so that the other guys can get open. And so I just think he affects so many things when he's hitting his three.
The pride of Woods Cross, almost 40% from three in his career. He's amazing. How about, I said shooter, yeah. Mawit Mag, what do you think?
Well, this one was interesting. It's our first year of Mag, and I went with Fearless. And we really didn't see him the first half of the season, right? But since he's come on, what are they, 12-4, 12-3, since
awesome.
He moved into the starting lineup?
Yes.
Look at him. He's fearless. He'll take on anybody. He was a great defender at Rutgers. He'll shoot the three. He won't hesitate to do that. He goes right to the rim. But defensively, he has been so good. And the Big 12, as we've seen, has some phenomenal talents. And you just look through the last seven games that BYU's played, and there's somebody on that group that's a game changer themselves. They put Mag on him, and somehow they stay a little bit under control. And I think Fearless. I don't think he backs down to anything.
I think of defense. What I should think of is threes, because look at that number, 39%. He was a pretty inefficient three-point shooter at Rutgers. To be this guy, to be the corner three guy for BYU, has been amazing. Defensively, I think he was part of a big change for the Cougars as Will Voigt and that defense, they really settled in defensively. And you give up a bunch of points at Arizona, but you make stops in timely moments. You think about what BYU did against Iowa State, especially at the end of the game with Trey Stewart and Mawit on the perimeter. Defense is what comes to mind with Mawit.
How about his patience? All right, he comes from the Big Ten, big star at Rutgers, and he comes here and he's at the bottom of the list of the newcomers because it's Yegor and it's Cannon and it's Kaba and then all these new coaches come, and he sits on the bench or comes in sparingly. But if you look at the body of the season, has there been a bigger surprise/impact guy than Mag?
His influence on the defensive end changed the season for BYU, I think. He locked in, and so it gave more confidence to the other guys. When you see Mawit Mag and Trey Stewart on the perimeter now, you're like, I don't think they're getting a good look.
No.
These guys can stay on the ball, and that'll be big in the NCAA tournament. It'll be big in the Big 12 tournament. Okay, last but not least.
Those two guys were the defensive difference makers on the last play
100%.
For Iowa State.
100%.
So as you brought that up, I thought of, yeah, I thought of Mag. They forced the ball over to
absolutely
to Trey.
The headband guys. Yeah. Throw Richie over there, too.
So let's segue to Trey. Trey Stewart, what's your word?
Culture. What he brings in terms of team guy, who he is as a person, what he's done with his fashion off the court has been notable. Trey Stewart is the epitome of a great team player. He could have absolutely transferred, played more time somewhere else. Wanted to be at BYU, and he has contributed in an amazing way on and off the court for this team. He's been ready, and he's contributed. He's not put up huge numbers, but he's been a good defender. He's been trusted more as the season's gone on. He hit some late first half threes that were big in a couple of different games. Trey Stewart is a culture guy for this team.
I went with razzmatazz. and that's all one word. He brings energy and some flair.
Is that what that means? Razzmatazz?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. That's what I'm making it. he brings something different off the bench. Sometimes it might seem erratic, but it's all 100% hustle, tenacity. And like Mag, he backs down to no one. I watched him fight Atiki Eliatiki in practice last year, and I go, that guy isn't backing down to anybody. And then you see it when he comes in. He's averaging now up over 11 minutes a game from nothing, or mop-up minutes to showtime minutes.
On a top 25 team.
On a top 25 team, and he's been a difference maker down the stretch. And he was on the floor in the biggest moment of the season Tuesday night. That says everything with what Kevin Young now thinks of a guy who's been at the end of his bench. And he's a great example for everyone on the end of the bench
absolutely.
To keep practicing, working hard, and then when you get your chance, as you mentioned a moment ago, take advantage of it. Make something happen.
You don't have to get ready if you stay ready.
Yeah.
He stayed ready. Razzmatazz, according to Ask Jeeves, no, just kidding, Google, another term for razzle-dazzle.
Yeah, exactly.
There you go.
You get something. He comes in, his hair's flying around.
He does something.
He's flying around.
That's why you have the headband. It keeps it intact, right? Keeps it out of the ice. Our question of the day is this. What do you want to see from BYU men's basketball against Utah tomorrow night at Lex Watterson 2-on-X? A Kansas-style beatdown.
I think that's what a lot
that would appease Cougar Nation, I think.
34 points.
34 points. That'd be pretty good. At B Royal Blue Coug on X. I want to see utter domination. It's our last regular season chance to impress the committee. Gotta show up. And because Utah won the first matchup, there's no chance BYU is overlooking Utah. Like, if BYU had won that first one, I could see where this would feel a little trappish, like, oh, yeah, you're feeling good. You got the double bye. You're probably playing Iowa State again next week. Get some rest. No. Utah punked BYU and won, and now BYU feels like they need to do the punking.
Rival games are funny. You know, we sometimes expect this. We get this. In football, you know, what BYU have to do to just get out of the stadium
win.
With a win.
Just win.
When they went up there so much better than them. And things just change through the course of, of sometimes that happens. In basketball, maybe not as much. Talent seems to always prevail in the end. We'll see. But I think
not
it feels
Kansas,
like a big
did.
Night ahead. Yeah, not at Kansas. this is a big weekend for a couple of reasons.
Yep.
And you'll be on the call on two of these games. Men's volleyball, number 6 in the country. USC, number 5 in the country. Tonight at the Smithfield House and tomorrow night. What's the significance of this one?
Big matches in league in the MPSF. The Cougars on a 6-game win streak. Played some easier teams, had a bye week, they're feeling healthy. If they want a challenge for an MPSF title, they probably need to win both. They've got some good wins this year, but they need these would be the two best if they won these two. They lost in 5 and 3 to Hawaii and UCI, who are both in the top three. Two brothers on the different teams, by the way. Noah Hain for BYU, a setter. Riley Hain, an outside hitter for USC. We'll see if either play, but it's the Hain Bowl. This weekend. So it should be a lot of fun in the Smithfield House.
A challenge for The Rock, right? Tonight they'll pack that. Maybe you'll set attendance records.
It'll be
tonight.
Awesome tonight.
Tomorrow night you've got this and basketball about the same time, and so The Rock will be challenged to fill both arenas, and you know what? They usually do.
They do. Like, I'm surprised every time, I probably shouldn't be, that when there's a head-to-head, which there's an hour difference, volleyball at 7 local time tomorrow, Utah men's hoops and BYU at 8, we'll see how the students handle that. Let's just say basketball is going to be full, and I think the Smithfield House will be too.
It's fun to have big-time events
yes, it
you
is.
Know, all over campus.
Big Ten USC?
Yeah.
What? They're in the MPSF in this situation. Okay, after two home games for baseball, it's fun to be over at Miller Park with you doing radio. You were
How
doing
was
TV
that, by the way?
Great.
It's a different animal.
Different
animal.
Baseball, absolutely. It was fun. I hadn't done radio baseball at BYU before, so that was a lot of fun. Team currently 8-5 on the year. How much better will this team be than last year? What have you seen? And you've seen every game so far.
Well, they've hit 25 home runs already in 13 games. They're on pace for 100. Last year, they finished with 70 in 52 games. Easton Jones had a couple of big hits yesterday. He's just starting to get going. So they've done it without Easton Jones, but they got a lot of big swingers on this. They're a little older than last year. Last year, they were one of the youngest teams in the country. Now those freshmen are sophomores. Sophomores are juniors. Pitching's deeper, especially in the bullpen. We saw that yesterday with Justice Reiser coming in to cap Peyton Gubler.
Oh, my gosh.
Six innings, one hit.
No earned runs.
Here's the scene this morning.
This
over
is live.
Miller Park.
Still,
a live look.
Still covered.
I'm still waiting to see like a developing green patch where the heater's actually working. But we've been told this is a go. For 3 o'clock local time, game three with Stetson. Stetson is a good team. They're a solid baseball program, NCAA regionals last year. This is a good challenge. BYU will face a better pitcher today. Yep. And so we'll see if the hitting matches what Stetson's going to throw at them. But there are great nights ahead at Miller Park coming up when it's like 80
and warmer.
Fireworks
yeah,
night.
Warmer nights.
Basketball teams out throwing first pitches. Yeah. All that's coming. But right now, it's a snow day. Over there.
It's crazy. BYU scored 10 plus in four of the last five games. Like, they can swing the sticks. It's awesome. Excited for BYU to make that Big 12 tournament this year. It's 12 teams this year. 14 teams in the league. There are two that don't have baseball. So make that tournament. See if you can't improve, take a step forward in the right direction. Big 12 is tough in baseball. Yeah. I'm not expecting BYU to make an NCAA regional per se, Dave, but if they can take a few steps forward, keep building, maybe next year is the year they make it. Heck, maybe they make a run this year. Yeah. Maybe the offense is so improved and the pitching is so improved that they challenge for an at-large, or heck, maybe the Big 12 tournament. We'll see.
Such a numbers game for baseball and softball, and pitching is everything, and we'll see. We'll see if they can catch up to the TCUs of the world here sooner than later. Great defense. A little shaky the last couple of nights, but typically that's a really good defensive team. So we'll see out in the elements today for BYU and Stetson. All snow plows lead to Saturday night at the Marriott Center, BYU and Utah. The venue is sold out, as would expect. Pregame coverage starts at 9 Eastern right here on BYU TV and BYU Radio. It is going to be quite a night.
I love that we have milked that picture of Dallin Hall hanging on the rim after the alley-oop on like every graphic possible. It's a beautiful shot. Coming up, seniors Trevin Nell and Trey Stewart are in the house to preview the Utah game and senior night. This is BYU Sports Nation.
Now we're just, you know, stacking days. And, you know, in-state games are always, you know, no matter what, it's going to be a bloodbath. Everybody already understands how big the game it is.
Trey Stewart game is huge for us.
Yeah, that really helped me and gave me like a second win and more confidence.
I don't really think we need to say anything else. I think we've been proving it on the court.
We're live in Studio B with your day-to-day Cougar Sports play-by-play. Jerem Jordan alongside Dave McCann. Senior night coming up, BYU in Utah, 10 Eastern time. Pregame at 9 Eastern time. Trevin Nell and Trey Stewart are in the house, two of the four seniors who will play their final game in the Marriott Center tomorrow. Boys, what's going on? How are we doing?
It's great.
Doing good. We did not plan this hat thing, by the way, but we have a gift for the two of you.
What in the world are these? No, thanks. I'm good, dude. Hey, actually,
we might just talk.
I was going to say, let's throw these off. Utah hats.
Don't worry about it.
I didn't even know those were on campus.
I know. I thought it was illegal, but I smuggled them in.
You smuggled them in?
Yeah. Look, as a fashionista that you are with your company,
you're selling to both fan bases.
You got to, but right now we're not friends with them.
Yeah, so those are off the set now. Thank you for that.
Hey, what's this week like been for you two and the team? You beat Iowa State and then takes forever to get out of Ames. Because of the storm.
What
was that like? What'd you guys do with all that extra time together?
Oh, it was kind of crazy because we, you know, we're right in the high of beating Iowa, and then we get to, we're like heading out on the bus, and then we figure out, okay, we're going to have to stay. So we're kind of like going crazy. We're like, oh, let's have a party, you know. But
was it a blizzard at that point?
It was pretty cool. Yeah, it was coming down. Yeah. And then we finally just get to our hotel. Me and Trake just had like an hour talk just about like, kind of our trajectory, our path from, you know, when we were freshmen to seniors, going into senior night, kind of all the emotions there, kind of building up.
It was a good moment of reflection. cool.
But and then you waited.
I was gonna say I wouldn't suggest being there.
You went and practiced somewhere, right? I mean, you were there all day. You couldn't even get out till the night of the next day, right?
Yeah, it was wild. We literally shot, did a pool workout, did some stretching. Finally got the call that we can go to the airport, and then we get to the airport, we eat, and then all of a sudden, the engines froze on the plane, so we couldn't leave.
It was frozen on the stairs.
And so then we
and then the stairs were broken or something.
Stairs were broken. And it was just wild. So we were there for like another 4 hours at the airport, just chilling, and then finally got to Utah. So
that's wild. Have you come down from the high of that win? Because that's one of the greatest wins in BYU history, Trey.
I don't know. It was kind of like it happened, and the whole time we were stuck there, we're like, man, we're just glad we won.
It would have been miserable, right?
Terrible. But it was good vibes, and I think we're all just really motivated right now. I think that's a good way to put it. So, yeah, we're riding that high, but at the same time, we still have a lot of work to do, so we're looking forward to just keep growing.
Describe at the end of the game, we read reports where the fans gave the both teams a standing ovation for what they had seen. What was that moment like? Sometimes the fans shout stuff at you after you beat them, but was this a little different?
Do they, Dave? Has that happened twice this year?
Yeah, this one was a little different, especially because like before the game even started, we were like in the tunnel trying to get out, because usually at 6 minutes you can go out and get your pregame shots up, and they wouldn't let us out on the court till like 2 minutes. And so we're right next to the student section. Guys are taking pictures of us, calling all sorts of names. Yeah. And then as soon as the game was finally finished, that second overtime, we walk out, everybody's kind of clapping. Like some of the student section are obviously not happy. But then we came out, we said hi to our fans, and I remember like 30 Iowa State fans came up, like, hey, you guys are a really good team. That was one of the best games we were able to watch this year. And thank you for like, you know, what you guys did. It was really fun. Good luck the rest of the season type of vibe. So it was really cool.
And that feels better than the alternative that you usually get, right?
I've said this before. Iowa is one of my favorite fan bases. We went there last year.
Right.
It just looked so fun. And they just like great people. They cheer their team on really loud. It's one of the best environments in the Big 12.
One of my best friends growing up lives in Des Moines, so he's gone to the game the last years, and he said it's been awesome. The day before, able to connect with the team, take pictures, so he loves it. And I know the BYU fans on the West Coast are like, man, we miss BYU in L.A. and San Fran and whatnot. Yeah, but like, the fans in the Midwest for BYU, they have a chance now to connect with you guys, which is great. What are the emotions around tomorrow night? It's not just the regular season finale. It's not just Utah. It's not just seven-game win streak. It's final time in the Marriott Center, Trevin. For you, it's been 18 years here, man. That's crazy.
Okay.
But yeah, like the fact that I've been here for this long and like it's like finally here. And it's like I always say, it's like the perfect storm, right? Like we're on a 7-game win streak and we're playing.
Well
our best
played
basketball.
After Iowa State.
We just beat a top 10 team and we get to play Utah. Like it's like the perfect storm. It's like the perfect way to go out. But like, yeah, there's a lot of emotions, still kind of digesting it. And like me and Trey just kind of talked about it a couple days ago. Like we just got to stay present, you know? And I think that's the main thing we're kind of going to. I don't think the emotions have hit yet. Yeah. It'll hit once you maybe walk out on the court or, you know, with family or like once the final whistle blows. But yeah, there's a lot of emotion still.
Yeah. Me and him again, like we talked about being present. That's kind of a big thing for us, but we just had a lot of gratitude. We were like just that long talk we had. It was just I'm glad we had that day to kind of unpack all of our emotion through it. Cause it's like, man, like Trevin, you started coach or recruited by Rose, came to BYU. We got to the Big 12. Pope came, you played in Pope system. Big 12 came. No one would have been like, oh, Trevin knows the Big 12 guard. There's just a lot of people doubting, a lot of people saying stuff. But I was just like, man, I'm so proud of you and everything that you overcome in your career. Like, it's crazy to see that, like, you're a starting guard in the Big 12 shooting an amazing clip from three. So really, it's just been a fun experience and kind of like a good way to go out. So couldn't be better.
Well, Trev, you watched this guy sit a lot of his career, but stay ready and practice hard. And here down the stretch, he's getting the most minutes he's ever had. He's making the biggest impact that he's ever had, and the biggest finish to a game, he's on the floor defending the guy shooting the ball. How much fun is it to see Trey get the spotlight here down the stretch?
Yeah, like, I have tremendous amount of respect for Trey. Like, the way his career has gone is not like what he probably would have expected, what he pictured, but he's been the guy that works harder than everybody. He's in the gym at like 7 a.m. getting shots up. He's in the gym at 7 p.m. getting shots up. And so, he's the hardest worker. And that translate, and then B, like every single day in practice, he brings it. So, like, even, you know, there's some days he wasn't playing, and he'd be like, you know what, I'm the best defender. Like, he's talking, you know, and he's getting up in guys.
We will mic me up.
But, yeah, I just have a tremendous amount of respect for Trey. He's always staying ready, and, like, he's the perfect team guy, too. Like, he's the first guy off the bench, you know, cheering you guys up. If I'm having, like, a bad day, or if I'm, like, thinking about, you know, something a little too much, he's like, hey, breathe. Like, you're good. Like, hit the reset button. And, like, continue out. So me and Trey have, like, a really, really good relationship. And then, you know, you just saw it when he threw the oop to Dallin. You know, everybody's talking about Dallin dunk. But, like, what we talk about is Trey's joy when Dallin dunked it. You know, that's the type of, like, player Trey is. Like, he's going to get up in you, and he's also going to be the first person to have your back no matter what. So I have a tremendous amount of respect for Trey. And I'm just so happy that, you know, people are finally seeing the potential he has and, like, what he brings to us, because I feel like we've kind of swept that under the rug. And, you know, the 7-game win streak doesn't happen without Trey. So
I appreciate it.
We teased this question at the start of the show, and I want to ask it to you. When the day comes that you explain to your kids what playing at BYU is like for you, how are you going to do it?
We were saying we have a lot of gratitude for, shout out Maddie and Emma, the social media team. They capture so many moments, like pictures tell 1,000 words, videos tell 1,000 words. We went through an album. This sounds kind of weird. I have an album on my phone of, like, pictures of me and Trev. Just because, like, before every game of the WCC, we took pictures. We've had a lot of great moments on the court together. But there's, like, a few pictures where it's just, like, us sharing, like, a very special moment of, like, him hitting a three and, like, tapping me on the shoulder, like, pounding my chest. And it's just, like, that picture tells 1,000 words where, like, one day we can tell our kids. Because I remember the first day I ever met a BYU player was Trevin Nell, and he said, whatever you need, I got your back. So now I can just, we're going to be friends for a lifetime. We have all those pictures that we can say, hey, this is the type of relationship we had, this is the type of stuff we went through. And I mean, we've all been on video, which is great. So shout out Manny and Emma. We appreciate you.
They do a great job. The
and
cut
Nate,
came
and
out.
Nate takes a picture of my phone.
Absolutely. BYU photo too. This is why sports are awesome. You have this common goal. It's a thing that doesn't in the grand scheme really matter, but it does matter to a lot of us. It's a thing that brings us together. You guys are brother for life. Mm-hmm. You didn't know each other before this. The fans feel like they know you as well. It's awesome, man. And tomorrow's going to be great. There's also the thing about playing Utah. They won the first matchup. Kevin Young said, hey, we owe them one. How motivated are you guys? And what do you need Trevin to do differently than that first game? Because you're a different team, and they're in a different situation too.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like we're a whole different team. Like, even from the first couple of Big 12 games. We're playing well, you know, Trey, you know, is the guy that's stepping up huge for us. But when we had this like 3-game skid early in the season, we like had a team meeting, players only, and we wrote up 3 things. It was like, play for your brother, have joy, be present. And then our whole team like motto is play harder than the guy in front of you. And so I think we're really just kind of embodying that. Our bench energy is huge. You know, I remember when Trey hit a shot, he's doing his celebration. I'm on the bench doing his celebration. So, like, we have, like, no agenda. And so I think a lot of guys are stepping up. A lot of guys are happy. And we're playing fast.
Isn't that how you can play 11 guys?
That's how we can play 11 guys. Like, and no one gets, like, mad if they're not playing. That's why I think this team is so special. Everybody wants to win. But like Coach said, we owe Utah one. And I think it's going to be a fun game, fun atmosphere.
What's it like as players when you come out and warm up in front of the Rock, your peers on campus? They want you to pound these guys. So, Trey, how do you balance the emotion of you want to give them what they want to see, but you're also playing a decent team?
Yeah. I mean, it's we're kind of saying the exact same thing over and over again, but just be present. That's all it is for us. That's the key to, like, a lot of our, like, mental things where it's like, oh, we can get out of ourselves, we can do this. At the end of the day, like Trevin said, play harder than the guy in front of you. That's all it is. Yes, they're a very good team, but we have become a lot better team since the last time we played them. So we're all very motivated because that one stung a little bit. So, yeah, we're going to have some fun.
Last April, we didn't feel like this. Mark Pope leaves. We don't know who the head coach is going to be. You fast forward to this. What have you guys gone through to come together as a team, to lose a few games that you felt like you should win, to get to this point where you're one of the hottest, if not the hottest team in the country, Trev?
Yeah, I just wish, like, some people knew kind of what we went through, you know, like what really goes on without the lights.
Yeah.
Because there's, like, a lot of sweat, there's tears, there's, like, you know, people getting in your face a little bit. But the way this season's panned out, like, I wouldn't change it for anything. Because I feel like we're way more battle-tested than I feel like last year. And we know how to close out games, we know how to make adjustments. And so everything, every loss, every win has really helped us to get to this point. and I feel like the trust is there. Like, everybody's still learning, but, you know, it's so fun to be able to go out there, play for your brother, and, you know, let everything else kind of just fall in place. And I think that's kind of what's been going on this season.
You both got to know Kevin Young at the same time, so you've had the equal amount of figuring this guy out. What's one attribute about Coach Young that folks don't know about that you two have grown to admire the most?
I think his, like, humility and adaptability are two things that I've been very impressed with, because, I mean, you have to be humble to come in. I mean, you're an NBA coach. You could be arrogant, but, like, he came in and was like, I really don't know the college scene, so, like, tell me about it. And he'd always ask Trev and me and, like, all the other, like, vets. He just asked us, like, simple questions, just, like, tell me more about college basketball, and just, like, always trying to learn. And then you've seen as he's gone through, not like his coaching style has changed, but it's always been the same where he's just trying to adapt. He's trying to learn. So his adjustments, his X and O's are always on point. Like, he's incredible with that. But yeah, I've just been very impressed with how he's been able to, like, change his coaching style to adapt the college scene. Last night on the coaches, we talked about how, like, the physicality was one thing that was, like, very shocking to him.
Still is after Tuesday.
Still is, yeah. And he was just like, I mean, there's fouls all the time. Like, there's crazy stuff that happens. And I mean, in the league, you get people who, I mean, you're coaching Kevin Durant, he's going to get some foul calls, but I'm not necessarily going to get some foul calls with Kevin Durant. So,
dang it.
Yeah, it's a little different. But yeah, I've just been very impressed with him.
What about you, Trev?
Yeah, like Coach Young always says, like, I kind of remind him of what, like, how he used to play a little bit. And so I would say, like, a lot of things that Coach Young does, like, he's a little chippy, you know, like, he has that edge, he has that competitive nature to him. And I think that helps fuel us. Like, he's super genuine. Like, when he says stuff, it's like, all right, let's go. Like, I'm going to go run through a brick wall. Like, something that's kind of flowing around right now is, like, a lot of teams felt like they could punk us. And he goes, yeah, a lot of, like, early in the season, BYU was getting punked, but now we're doing the punking. And so, like, when he said that, I was like, all right, let's go play another game, you know?
And he ended, like, the post game with that, right?
I was like, yeah. It's just like, I love Coach. I feel like he, like Trey said, he's really humble, and he's really just always asking questions, trying to learn, trying to, like, adapt. And I think that's something that has helped us to, like, put more trust in him. And it's, like, just a conversation instead of, you know, we're both learning at the same time. He's coaching us. And then sometimes we're like, all right, we feel like we should do this a little bit. So, yeah, you know, shout out to Coach. I feel like everybody would talk and give high praise to him.
But tomorrow night, you'll remember that moment for the rest of your life. So soak it in.
Sure. Enjoy it. And thanks for what you mentioned, which is all the effort, the blood, sweat, tears that you guys have put into the program, because it's been so fun to watch you guys. And there's still work to do.
Still work to do. We're not done.
Not done. Okay, thanks for coming in, and all the karma we can give you for tomorrow night.
I appreciate it. Let's go.
Good to have you guys here. Appreciate how about it. Tonight? Before we get tomorrow night, how about tonight? Men's volleyball at the Smithfield House, USC and BYU. Jerem will be on the call, 9 o'clock Eastern time. BYU TV at Friday night. Your activity is set. It's going
to
be fun.
Keone Thim could throw down. That'd be fun to see him dunk with his 45-inch vertical. Coming up, which athlete won Big 12 Freshman of the Year in what sport? And baseball breaks out the bats against Stetson. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Follow BYU Sports Nation on social media for content throughout the day on Facebook, X, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok.
I felt like Trey Stewart was handing me a snake. When I saw the U of U, I was like, what is this?
That was a surprise. We did not see that coming. Usually the alarm goes off, something like that.
We got punked.
Comes through there. What a great visit with those two.
Yeah, that was awesome. That was great. They had some insightful things to say. That was awesome. Okay, let's get to today's headlines.
Anticipation sky high, of course, for tomorrow night's BYU-Utah game at the Marriott Center. Cougars riding a 7-game winning streak. It's senior night. Last home games for Trevin Nell, Trey Stewart, Moet Mag, and Fusini Traore are 1 hour pregame show starts at 9 Eastern on BYU TV from the Marriott Center floor and here in our studio. Also on BYU Radio. Tip off 10 Eastern on BYU Radio and ESPNU.
Number 6 men's volleyball back in action in Provo against number 5 USC in a 2-game series tonight and tomorrow 9 Eastern, both nights on BYU TV. Cougars 12-4 on the season and on a 6-game win streak.
Senior Brock Watkins hit a 2-run home run and Crew McChesney, Cooper Vass, Easton Jones, and Parker Goff all ripped doubles as BYU beat Stetson 10-2 at Miller Park. Started in the snow and we had some sunshine. We got it all. Peyton Gubler pitched a gem, 1 hit through 6 innings. Cougars and Hatters again today, 5 Eastern on ESPN Plus and BYU Radio as they work to clear the snow off the ballpark.
Can't wait to see the live shot and see if it's starting to melt or not. Softball loses the Big 12 opener, 1-0 at Arizona State. Tough loss, gave up the one run in the sixth. Cougars 14-5 on the year. Game two tonight, 8 Eastern on ESPN+.
BYU distance runner Tyler Matthews named the Big 12 Outstanding Freshman of the Year. He broke the school record for the indoor 800 meters. A member of the distance relay medley relay team, also secured a new program record this season. Fantastic.
Women's dive begins competing at the NCAA Zone E Diving Championships in Washington tomorrow. Best of luck.
Gymnastics at number 22, Arizona, final Big 12 matchup of the regular season. They've won three straight in the conference, coming off a record season high against Arizona State last week. You can watch the meet tomorrow at 3 Eastern time on ESPN+.
Women's tennis got its first Big 12 win of the season yesterday against Colorado, taking notes from the football team in the Alamo Bowl. Team returns home to take on number 13 Texas Tech tomorrow at 10 a.m. local time, noon Eastern. Men's tennis heads to California to face LMU in an old West Coast Conference matchup of sorts. Team currently 10-2 on the season. They've been good. Match begins today at 3:15 Eastern time.
Do you think they shouted, "Remember the Alamo Bowl" when they
Bowl.
Went out there?
Yeah,
and beat Colorado?
I'm pretty sure they did not, but they should have. After the break, new tight end Carson Ryan on transferring from Utah in spring ball so far. This is BYU Sports Nation. Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. Jerem Jordan, Dave McCann with you. Carson Ryan has transferred from Utah to BYU. He's a tight end who the Cougars expect to throw to a bunch. He recently spoke with Spencer Linton after a spring football practice.
Carson, let's begin with your decision to come to BYU and finish out your football career here. When did that idea first come into play for you?
Once I hit the portal, you know, BYU hit me up and I got to talk with Coach Kalani and Coach Gilbride and Coach McDaniels as well, and you know, I just the relationship kind of kicked for me, like clicked, and just I really like their coaching style. Like coming to practice, I really enjoyed how they were running things, and Coach Gilbride, and I think he's a really good coach, and I really wanted to learn from him and all his experience he has in the NFL and at other schools as well. And so for me, it was a no-brainer to come here. You know, it's talking to Coach A-Rod, it's gonna be we're gonna be a good tight end school this year, and you know, we've seen that before, and we're gonna bring it back, and you know, I'm just a you got all the weapons here on offense as well. You got Jake and all our good wide receivers and great old lines. Building out to be a great offense this year, and I'm just happy to be a part of it for the season. So,
you mentioned the BYU tight end and that role flourishing, and in your phrase, coming back. What type of role do you expect to have in what you hope is a flourishing role for the tight ends this year?
I just hope to get us all on the field. You know, get me, Ethan, like Noah Moyaki, Anthony, like all those guys out there and getting out there playing and getting in some 12 and 13 personnel hopefully too, and you know, just getting out there dominating the line of scrimmage, making catches downfield, and you know, just learning from each other and just becoming the best players we can together.
For the BYU fans that are not familiar with your game and what you do best, what would you tell them is at the top of your list and your skill set?
My one of my biggest things I've always tried to be elite at is just be a good blocker first and foremost. You know, as a tight end, it's you think like catch the ball, but you want to block first, and that's where you're going to make your money and you know, be a great player. And so I try to be physical and athletic when I'm blocking in space, blocking the line of scrimmage, and then taking that athleticism and then catching the ball downfield and being a dynamic player as well. And that's my goal too, coming here, is becoming that more dynamic of a player and run blocking, but also catch the ball downfield and making plays.
How is your relationship both on and off the field with Jake Retzlaff evolving thus far?
Oh, it's been great getting to know him. You know, he's a really good guy and he's a fun guy to be around. And lots of energy he brings to the team, and you know, I'm more of a silent type leader, and so having him is good, and having him make me bring the energy out of myself as well is good. So I've been really clicking with him, and it's been great to get to know him.
Carson Ryan is with us on BYU Sports Nation. Let's talk a little bit about the coaching staff as a whole, because you've mentioned a few times the right fit. We've talked about Coach Gilbride, but you mentioned Coach Kalani too. What was that initial conversation like with Kalani when you were seriously considering coming back to BYU?
No, it was interesting when I was first talking with Kalani, and then I went on my visit with him. Like, you know, he's such a people's person, and he cares so much about you as a person, and like the way he like engages with my family and my little siblings as well. Like, when we were at the hotel, he'd sing karaoke with them, or he'd play board games with them, and they'd be talking trash. And my little siblings didn't even know he's the head coach. They were like, when's the head coach coming? It's like, he's right there. It's like, what? That's him? I'm like, yep. He's just you don't, when you see him, you don't think of him as like a head football coach, but he's just, because he's such a nice, regular guy. But you know, it's And for me, I feel like that makes me want to have that respect for him even more. Like, the way he treats others, it's like, you know, I want to be that type of person. And so it makes someone that you can look up to and someone who can lead by example. I respect him.
You do have a former teammate in Keanu Tanuvasa that comes with you immediately. What's that like to have that connection as you guys now move into BYU together?
It's been nice. Our lockers like right next to each other over here, and so it's been nice to kind of talk a little bit about the transition and kind of help each other out, get comfortable. And you know, it's been nice having a little bit of previous connections. I got a couple, well, not a couple. I got a lot of guys here too. I knew from high school too, so it's been a nice transition for me because I knew so many people on the team, and it's been a good transition so far with him too. So
I know it's early in spring football, but what do you feel like BYU is doing best right now?
I think we're doing great at bringing the intensity to practice every day. You know, they ended with a great season last year, and our goal right now is just stack that up and make it even greater. And you know, they worked hard, we worked hard last season, and now we just got to work even harder this year. You know, we can't just expect to do the same thing, get different results. So we got to come with even more intensity and even more want to be the best team in the nation. If we want to win national championship, that's what it's going
to
take. So
Carson, it's been great to get to know a little bit about you. Glad to have you here.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Carson Ryan with Spencer Linton this week. So you look at the tight end room, Dave. You got the fifth-year senior in Carson Ryan, certainly expected to be probably the main guy in that room. Ethan Erickson coming off of a foot injury. He's an experienced guy who has perhaps been underused. We'll see if he gets more targets. Anthony Olson, Noah Moyaki, who, by the way, played with Trey Stewart on a championship basketball team at American Fork. Tucker Kelleher, the freshman tight end from Texas, is here in spring. It's a room where there's going to be guys who haven't caught a ton of balls at BYU that will be the guys this year.
Timing is everything, and this is the greatest time of Ryan's life to come into this program where they need a big tight end. As much as everyone wanted the Keanu Hill experiment to work, it didn't. And so here comes Ryan. He's the biggest, most talented tight end since Isaac Rex as a freshman, right? Right up really until Rex wrecked his ankle at USC. And so it's been a while. So you can imagine throwing him in over the middle where tight ends live, and BYU's tight ends haven't lived for a long time, it seems, to what the other pieces are that they have. There's a reason why Kalani was so excited about getting this kid.
Another Utah guy that can make an impact here at BYU. He mentioned, hey, I know some guys from high school. Not just who he played. High school teammates are guys in a similar program. So Chase Roberts is an American Fork guy. Will Zundel in the tight end room as well. Bodie Schoonover is a D-end. He's an AF kid. Noah Moyaki, also a fellow tight end, a couple years younger. And Hunter Clegg, who came also from, committed to Utah out of high school, transferred down. So there's some cavemen on this roster that he knows either from playing with or came after him, so that's exciting. And we'll see if BYU, uses the tight end more effectively. It's not been used as much the last couple of years, kind of that H-back that comes in as a fullback or is just offset to kind of block there. Early in the season last year, we were seeing Matavitase get some tight end catches, and he was being used on fourth down and everything. I remember against SMU notably. He kind of got banged up and then didn't play a ton. Keanu Hill kind of never flourished like we were hoping. So we'll see with Carson Ryan, Ethan Erickson, and the boys. Throw to the tight end a little more.
Spencer's not a little guy.
No.
No, and you see the size of Carson can block, and that's such an advantage.
Yeah.
We're in the transition for Keanu, that was the question, right? Is he big enough to block a defensive end? He is. And if you think of all the positions on the football team, the one that gets the instant upgrade by having Ryan here is the tight end spot. And that should fire BYU fans up.
Yep.
Because everyone else is back and playing really well. Here's the spot. This guy comes in, and it was fun listening to him. We're going to get to know him really well.
Frankly, Utah's been tight end you the last kind of five, 7 years. So he left that to come here. That tells you about his decision. He wants to get an opportunity here, and let's see if he gets one.
He wants the ball, right?
Who doesn't want
the ball?
Come on, man.
Yeah. Well, I wanted the ball. That didn't mean I was going to get the ball. But if you want the ball and you're good enough to get the ball, you know, Jake Retzlaff's going to find him over the middle. We saw some of the highlights in practice just running that route.
Yep. No, they're targeting him in practice as we speak.
All right. So we're keeping an eye on the baseball field. It's kind of the view of the day as the Cougars get ready. Rain, sleet, snow, or sun, doesn't quite matter. We're playing baseball this afternoon at Miller Park. Gary and I will have the call of Game 3 of the BYU Stetson Series, 5 Eastern on ESPN+. Greg will have the radio call on BYU Radio.
Rain or snow, that's how it goes, right? Yeah. Coming up, today's Elite Voice of the Day and Rise and Shout Out. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
BYU Sports Nation on demand. Download the free BYU TV and BYU radio apps or listen to the podcast. Subscribe, rate, and review as we look at a live shot from Miller Park.
It is still covered. It's pretty thick snow, 3 to 4 inches, I'm told. They do have a heater. Still hopeful they can get it all melted in time for 3 p.m. We will keep an eye and ear on that.
It's a science project going on right now in front of our eyes.
Our question of the day, what do you want to see from BYU men's basketball against UDOT tomorrow night? Our lead voice of the day, presented by PAX, Healthcare Elevated. At playoff, bogey on X. Absolute dominance, never trail, win by a landslide. That's what everyone wants. That's what everyone wants. Today's Rise and Shout-Out, presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
Mag, Stewart, Nell, and Foose, senior night, the Marriott Center, sold out, BYU TV pregame show. What a night coming tomorrow.
It's going to be so fun this weekend. Lots going on campus. Men's hoops, men's volleyball, baseball. Our thanks to today's guests, Trevin Hill, Trey Stewart, Carson Ryan.
All our stuff available on BYUSN.com.
For Dave, I'm Jeremy. Shout out to Eric Nielsen. Dave's got baseball today. I've got men's volleyball. Let's get after it. Get some wins. Beat Utah tomorrow. Go Cougs.